what's the saying? Just believe in yourself. You can do anything. We can't do everything. It's only through him that we can do anything. And yeah. Everybody out there has been given a gift. It's just, you probably already know what it is. You're just afraid to figure out how to use it.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast. I am Corrine, your host. And today, our guest is Melissa. She lives in Whitensville, and she has her very own podcast called Healthy Connections. So I'm so excited that she's here with us today, and I'm so thankful that you chose to join in the conversation. So Melissa, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
So thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. So who am I? I am a mom of three, a 13-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
Wow, so you're in it.
In it, deeply.
Yeah.
In it. I have an amazing husband, Matt. We live in Douglas, Mass. I am a health coach. I'm a real estate agent. And I am also a podcaster, as you mentioned. I have the Healthy Connections podcast where I help women make healthier connections with food, exercise, all the things.
So you are busy. Three kids and three jobs. So it sounds like.
Yes. Essentially. But it keeps me busy and I thrive in the quote unquote busy. I think we're all busy, but the priorities rise to the top.
Right. Exactly. Family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Being number one.
So how long have you and your husband been married?
We just celebrated our 14-year wedding anniversary yesterday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Good for you guys. Yeah. And how did you guys meet?
Oh, that's a good question. So I used to be a barista at Starbucks and I had been engaged prior and so had he. And we had both just broken off those engagements when his cousin, also a fellow barista, introduced us. And so that was how we met. I was working one night and he drove up on his Harley.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I just love motorcycles, I have to say. I'm just going to plug that.
Well, his is for sale if you're interested. he came up on his Harley and then I was walking out and he left. So I was like, oh, I guess he's not interested. He didn't like what he saw. But come to find out, he just didn't know what to say. And so he left, but we ended up meeting after that.
I'm laughing about that because that's what happened with me and my husband. I was working full time, but worked part time at a grocery store. He kept looking at me coming through my line. We were young, you know, silly. And then he walked out without saying anything. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Right.
So here I am yelling across the parking lot. Hey, hubcaps or wheels? He was talking about his new convertible, you know, the front. And I heard that. So that is super funny.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but he said it was because I was also with the other guys that I worked with and he didn't want to feel like he was invading on our conversation and whatever excuse he made up.
Yeah. Okay.
But here we are. That was, so we got married on our 4-year anniversary. So we've been together for 18 years.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
So he eventually did get up enough courage
to speak
to you.
Yeah.
Okay, men, rise up to the challenge. I'm just kidding. How long have you been a Christian? How did you get saved? Were you brought up in the church?
That's also a wonderful question. When my parents were married, they did bring us up in the church. So we went to a local church, Pleasant Street Christian Reformed Church.
Yes. Okay. In Whitensville.
Yep. So that's the church that I grew up in.
So did you grow up in Whitensville? Did you say that?
I did.
Okay. So did I.
Oh. I'm telling you, how we connected. I just can't connect it.
I would ask how old you are, but I won't do that to you.
I'll say it.
How old are you?
42.
Oh, God, no. I'm 10 years older. That's it's not there.
No,
it's
I don't
not
know.
There. Maybe you had a 10-year-old sibling. I don't know. 10 years older, but no.
Oh, that's too funny. Yeah. I know you somehow outside of it, but I can't picture it. So yeah, I grew up in Whitensville, went to Pleasant Street Christian Reformed Church. Then I went off to college and I went to church a little bit while I was in college. I went to Worcester State. When I moved out of Worcester State, when I graduated, I started to go to a church in Franklin. And that's where Matt and I started to go when we got engaged.
Okay.
New England Chapel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was he a Christian when you guys met?
So actually, it's funny. Listen up if you're just starting to date.
Mm-hmm.
When
listen up, daughters.
Yeah. So Christianity has always been a big part of my life. Thankfully, when my parents were married, it was very important to go to church. My grandmother would take us to church. I went to a Christian school, K through 12, like the whole bit. My faith has been a big part of my life. Now, my husband was born and raised Catholic, and it's always been a part of his life too, but he had kind of fallen away from the church. And so when we first started dating, that first night that we actually did meet and go to a party together, even though I could not stand going to parties, it just wasn't my scene.
I hear you.
We sat down, and my grandmother said, because I had broken off an engagement, she's like, the next time you meet somebody, you need to ask them, are you a Christian? And I'm like, okay. It's just an awkward question.
I get it.
In your early 20s.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. But sometimes what ends up happening is we get into this 6 months, year and a half down the road, and now we feel stuck.
Yes. Yeah.
Kudos to your gram.
Yeah, I know. I still thank her for that, because I did. I asked him, I said, well, are you a Christian? I felt so odd asking him. And he looked at me and he said, well, I was born and raised Catholic, but I've been interested to get back to church.
Love that.
And so the rest is history. So we started to go to church together, and here we are.
That's great. So you got married in the church. Did you start going? Did you say Framingham?
Franklin.
Franklin. Yeah. Okay.
So a pastor from that church married us in a different church that was closer to where we were getting married.
Nice. So, that's a great story. Yeah. Very encouraging. And bold.
Yes. Be bold and do premarital counseling, mm-hmm. because that's been a lifesaver. Even 14 years later, it's been a huge piece of us.
The marriage counseling from the beginning, like before you get married, or just throughout the 14 years?
At the very beginning. So mm-hmm. the pastor said, well, you have to go through premarital counseling. And I said, okay, that's fine. Then they made us take a test. And he said, oh, it's not a test. I said, but this is a test, because you're filling in bubbles. To me, it's a test. We did the not test. And we failed it.
Oh.
But he said, wow. It's not a test. I said, this is a test, because I just failed. And they even said, we've never told anybody this, but we would typically tell you to not get married. We were so, and still are, so different. But the one thing that we were solid on is our belief in God and our spiritual life.
And, praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because that's the center.
Yes. So if we had that as our core, we were going to succeed. We learned different tactics on how to deal with disagreements and all the things. And so that still helps us, having a code word. If you're getting really upset about something, you just have a code word, and it should make you laugh so that you can say the code word, giggle to yourself, hopefully, and then walk away and come back when you're ready to talk about it. We still use that to this day. And it's worked nicely.
That's really great. So when you're in the midst of an argument, mm-hmm. and you feel like it's getting too much.
Yep. You say your code word.
And you both laugh?
Sometimes. Other times we're just like, Franks and beans. And then we'll walk away. We're so upset.
Okay.
But when you're saying Franks and beans out loud, how can you not laugh?
Ridiculous is that? Right.
And usually our arguments are petty and nothing humongously serious. So it's not like the end of the world. And we've been blessed in that. There haven't been too many of those dark times.
Well, praise God for that. Yeah. That's so, what a great story. We should have you back on talking about marriage.
Yeah.
You could probably.
I am not an expert, but
none of us are, right? Yeah. We're all just walking through it being like, okay, Lord, what's next?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do here? Yeah. Just like literally a lifeline up to the Lord. What happens next? So you went off to college. What did you study?
I studied business and communications.
Now, is that something you felt like the Lord called you to, or was it something that you just always wanted to do?
I wouldn't say, I don't know. I don't know if I was really, this is awful to say out loud, but I wasn't really looking to the Lord at that time mm-hmm. for what I should do. And that's one thing I would definitely go back and redo if I could, is looking to him for more guidance versus just what I wanted to do. I come from a family where my dad's an entrepreneur. He's had his issues over the years, but sales and business have always been in my heart, in my blood. So I knew that I always wanted to do that. And over the years, it's definitely been watching God work in my life and taking the steps that he wants me to take so that I can do his work in this world. And for me, that's through business. If I could go back, I would go into real estate way sooner.
Okay.
And I had always wanted to do that and felt nudging from God. Now that I think back, in high school when I shadowed a local real estate agent
just because
when I was 18, because I just loved it. And
that's interesting. I know somebody else who always loved real estate, even young, mm-hmm. and went off to college for something else. Funny, because that's exactly what they're doing right now. Yep. The real estate all along.
Yep.
You know, I don't know why people have trouble jumping right into that.
I think at the time I just didn't understand how it all worked. Yeah. I even met with a real estate brokerage back then. I was probably 20 when I did that. And they didn't really explain to me, okay, now you have to go take an exam and then we'll hire you. And then XYZ happens. But obviously it wasn't what God wanted me to do at that time. Otherwise it would have just happened. Things would have fallen into place, and nothing was falling into place for that.
You know what? It's God's timing.
Yeah,
it's God's timing.
I keep telling myself that.
Yeah.
Because if I had gotten in earlier. Yeah.
It's all good. And I'm sure you use whatever degree you had from that knowledge to what you're doing today. I'm sure that God is pulling that all together.
Yeah.
So you had an interesting story you told me about. You had a professor in college that maybe connected to Morningstar. Do you want to tell us that story?
Yes. My business professor created Morningstar. I was in his business. It might have been intro to business class. He talked about this Christian bookstore that he started. And I just thought that was amazing because I went to Worcester State. That's not a Christian school, but right. He was still teaching there. And I'll never forget, he was my favorite business teacher. I created something in his class, and then now it's on the shelves in his store, but it's not my design.
Really?
But yeah, it was a hat that had not just the lower ponytail holder. Actually, I'm wearing a hat right now that has it. It's not just the lower ponytail holder. It's a top one so that you can put like a bun through it. And that back in 2001 at the time was something I invented, I guess you could say. He thought it was a great idea. And then all of a sudden, I want to say like 5 or 6 years ago, that started to hit the shelves. And I'm like, oh,
wow.
Another thing that
you're
I
like, I could have patented
jumped
that.
On.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But he was wonderful. I loved him.
So. That's really great to bring that into this podcast. Yeah. How many years ago was that? You said 2002?
I graduated high school in 1999. So I had him 99. Between that time and 2003.
That's a nice story. Thank you for sharing that. Talk a little bit about what you're doing, like your podcast. What is that about? How did that get started? How's God using that?
So
pick one.
I talk about God on my podcast. It's not a podcast about God. It's sprinkled in here and there so that anybody who's not a believer can hear it and their interest might be piqued. My goal with my podcast, I have multiple sclerosis, which I'm sure we'll talk about as well, is to help women understand that having a chronic illness is not a prison sentence and that you can get healthier. You can work on nutrition. You can work with a holistic practitioner just to help them make healthy connections along the journey of their chronic illness or while they walk alongside somebody in their life that has a chronic illness. So I just felt like God was leading me to get my message out there more. I've built my coaching business completely online on social media. I don't love to constantly be on social media, but I have to be with my job. This podcast was a way to get the message out to even more people that might not see my posts on social media, just to help them live happier and healthier lives. God does not intend for us to live in pain all the time. So if I can bring any kind of light relief to that and relief to that, then that's what I'm going to do.
So multiple sclerosis, tell me about that. When did that happen? When did you know about it? Is it generational? Is it not? Have you found any information about that?
So nobody in my family has MS. They say it can be genetic, but it's usually firstborn boys. From what I've read, that science may have changed since the last time I looked it up. I was diagnosed in 2009, and that was the year that I was graduating with my master's degree. That was the year that we were getting married. That was the year that I was running the Boston Marathon for the first time as a qualified runner.
Wow.
I had woken up one day, and it was probably January or February of 2009, with two numb feet. My husband and I, we weren't married, but we bought a house together prior. The ice storm of 2008 hit in November of that year. We lived in Rutland, Mass. So it was like,
Yeah.
Nobody down in this area of Massachusetts had that issue.
My husband works at school in Holden.
Okay.
So yes.
Yes.
He gets canceled and has to stay home and we have nothing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was like Armageddon hit Rutland. New home buyers. It was crazy. My stress level was out of control. When I was training for Boston, I was doing a little bit of running here and there, even though I cannot stand running. I was quote unquote training and my feet were numb. And I'm like, well, maybe it's because it's New England weather and it's cold and I'm running, or maybe I pinched a nerve. It was everything except what it really was. And I went to the doctor. He said, you're fine. You have nothing wrong. This was my primary. And then I had him test me for my vitamin D levels. They were non-existent. My D was like through the floor. It was not there. And it's a telltale sign that something's off.
Which is important to our listeners as well, is advocate for yourself.
Yes. I kept pushing and pushing. I said, I think I need to go for an MRI. And he said, but why? Now I worked.
Was this after the blood work?
Yes. He was very old school.
Yeah.
Like, this will pass. And it wasn't passing. My feet felt like if I put them in warm water, it felt like it was scalding hot. It's neurological. I need to go for an MRI. And I also worked at a health insurance company at the time. So I was talking to doctors. I worked with a hypochondriac and she's like, you have MS. You've got to go to the doctor. And I'm like, so she freaked me out a little bit, but thankfully she did, because then
God used it. Yeah.
Yes. I pushed for it. And when I remember going to the neurologist and he said, you're so young, we'll do these tests and then we'll send you for some MRIs. My first thought might be MS, but we'll see. And then I got the call while I was at work saying, we're going to admit you through the ER to get a battery of tests done, but we're pretty sure you have multiple sclerosis.
What was that phone call like?
Horrible. I tear up now.
Yeah. Yeah. Just devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating. You're starting this life.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you have this, is it a disease?
It's a chronic illness.
A chronic illness.
I like to think of it as a dis-ease. Your body is just at dis-ease with what's going on. And I just remember falling to my knees. The VP of our department was walking by my cubicle at the time, and she just came over and she just gave me a hug. She's like, you do what you need to do. And this was at a corporate health insurance company. I went to the emergency room. They admitted me and I got some more MRIs, and they said, we don't even need to do a spinal tap because you're lit up like a Christmas tree. So I had lesions all over my spine and my brain, and they diagnosed it. But now what's interesting is I am questioning if it is MS, and it could be heavy metal toxicity all these years.
I think I saw a post. You got some dental work done. You pulled out some fillings.
All my mercury fillings, in the hopes that over time that will help, because my mercury is off the charts.
Okay. And you know that why? Do you get tested on a regular basis? Do they follow this?
Yeah. So I just started working with a holistic practitioner, because most physicians aren't going to test for all the battery of blood work that I had done to search for heavy metals. So my arsenic was kind of high.
Arsenic?
Yeah. Everyone's like, is Matt trying to poison you?
Wow. What are you eating?
Yeah, right.
What are you eating over there?
But mercury, there was a time in college where I legitimately ate 2 cans of tuna fish a day for like 2 years.
Okay.
And heavy metals do not, it could be caused by anything that we put into our bodies. It doesn't leave unless you force it out. They're actually doing a lot of research on lesions in MS patients. Could be heavy metals, but it could also be parasites. So
okay.
That's a whole nother thing
that you're going to walk down.
I'm looking into, and I'm actually doing a parasite cleanse just in case.
Okay.
The lesions could be parasites. And so all these things you learn about, I'm willing to be the guinea pig on figuring out what it is holistically. Because another thing, I don't take medication for the MS. So
that's what I was going to ask too. Yeah. So that's interesting. So how old were you when you were diagnosed?
It was 2009. I was 28.
Okay. So you were 28. So you found out you had MS.
Yeah.
Traumatic.
Yes.
How do they treat that? And what did they tell you to do? Like, what was the plan?
So they told me, first of all, I went for a second opinion.
Of course.
I went to Brigham and Women's in Boston because they have a neurology clinic specifically for neuro issues and MS. It was terrifying walking into that office with my mom. MS is different for everybody. And I'm not here to say that you shouldn't take meds. But for me and my body, I just didn't want them because I worked at a health insurance company. Ironically enough, I had been doing the National MS bike ride every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
150-mile bike ride. I was doing it before I was diagnosed. Then I was diagnosed. And so I knew about MS And I had talked to doctors off the books, and they said it's what's in our food. It's what we're putting in our bodies.
I believe that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're going to put the wrong kind of gas in your car, it's not going to run well. The same is true for our bodies. And so when I went to Boston, they wanted to get me on new-to-market medication because at the time, the only meds that were available were injectables. So it's a daily injectable. And I just, with all the side effects, they said to me, are you going to have children? And I said, well, yeah, I'm getting married this year. We do plan on having children. You should probably get pregnant now before you go on these meds.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And they told me what the side effects could be. And I said, yep, nope, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen now. And it's not prayerfully going to happen ever. So I decided to not take them right then and there. And I've been pretty good ever since. The only thing that I've had four rounds over the course of 14 years of Solumedrol steroid treatments.
Okay.
When I need them.
I'm sorry, like what kind of symptoms? You're saying steroids when you need them. I know nothing about MS. So, yeah. And maybe the listeners don't either.
Yeah.
What symptoms? You said the numbness of your feet. Is there any other symptoms?
Sometimes you can start. I have always said if I start to lose my eyesight, then I will take a med. Doctors will yell at me and say, but you know that at that point it's too late.
Okay.
And I say, but it's not too late for my God. Like I don't say that to them, but that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
But it's numbness in the feet, numbness in the legs. Some people have drop foot, so they cannot physically lift their foot.
Okay.
They drag it behind them. Numbness in the hands. All these different things can happen. Urinary incontinence, sexual dysfunction, like all these things go along with the diagnosis because it's nervous system. It's like you have little potholes. You know when your phone charger starts to, like the outer covering starts to fray?
Yes.
That is what happens to your nervous system. So there's like little holes that are being, your sheath that covers the...
It's being worn away.
It's being worn away.
So you have lesions and so that causes numbness. I just want to go back real quick. They found it through your blood tests?
No, through MRIs.
Through MRIs. They saw the lesions through MRIs.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just like, I've had MRIs. Okay, they would have seen it.
Lately, I've been getting messages all the time, at least once a week. I think I have MS.
Really?
These are my symptoms. What should I do?
And we're thinking food.
Food.
Yeah.
Amongst other things.
There's a lot of chemicals in our food now.
Yeah.
It's just a fact.
Yeah. Diet sodas. And
oh, yeah.
I always tell people, you know, I used to drink four Diet Cokes a day with a coffee that had four Splendas in it.
Splenda is not good for you.
It's horrible. You want to talk about the arsenic.
That's completely fake.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember all of that because we're old enough now to look back and remember, ooh, that, you know, try Splenda. It's better than sugar. No,
it's not.
How can something fake manufactured be better than something? And I'm not saying sugar is good for you either. I'm just saying that's not a better alternative.
I'd rather people have sugar than have
that. Splenda.
There's trace amounts of arsenic in Splenda.
So crazy.
Trace amounts.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
There's your arsenic right there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I had, but little traces, one penny 100 times is a dollar. So you have little traces. It adds up. And I was legitimately having at least 6 to 10 Splendas a day in the coffees that I was drinking, not to mention the sodas.
Yeah, there was a friend of mine. She was drinking some beverage. I do not remember what it was. And she was having all of these body issues, you know, joints, inflammation, all of this stuff going on. And she stopped drinking whatever that was. And she just got better.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's one of my missions in life is to teach people that what we put in is going to affect us, no matter what it is, good or bad.
But I know that I had a neck injury, whiplash. And so unfortunately, I can't ride a bike anymore. I can't put a helmet on. So that's going to make me cry. The interesting thing was it was the nerve damage.
Yeah.
It was the nerve damage because my whole face went numb. My arms went numb. My leg went numb. You know, just all of that. And then I remember I couldn't sleep. And I remember trying to sit up and sleep. And I was like, oh, good. I can kind of sit, sleep. This will be fine. And within a couple of days, my spine, oh my gosh, was just firing off.
That's
like,
awful.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
And just that fear. This is it.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. You know, sometimes if I get too excited, like I had to learn. I went to a great physical therapist. God, so in control, brought me to the right person at the right time. When I went to see the regular physical, they're like, I can't touch you. Every time they touched me, I couldn't swallow because all of the muscles inside that they couldn't get to. Every time they tried to work on the out ones, the muscles inside would contract. So I was having trouble swallowing. Oh, so they're like, I know this guy. I don't know if you feel like driving or not, but he's a little spiritual. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm thinking, Lord, you are in this with me.
Yeah.
And I travel an hour away. He's actually taught at colleges. He moves those nerves because of the pressure the nerves have on your body. So that was affecting how my body was responding. And so, you know, I just started going to him and walked in there. He had statues of Jesus, worship music in the background. I'm like, Lord, you're so good to me.
No,
you are
good.
So good to me. Yeah. So I take that drive. But it's the same kind of thing. If I had to learn to breathe again, because I was breathing up here. You know, I don't know if you know this, but if you live with anxiety for a period of time, you don't breathe in your stomach anymore. You breathe in your chest. All of that, he needed to teach me, you know, to alleviate the neck pressure, you know, and how you're breathing. And pretty much excitement and fear run on the same wavelength, right? I didn't know that. I had to take a step back. You have to exercise more and do more for your body to move. I had to learn to not. Like, I have to keep myself at a state of calm. And I can't even get excited. Like, I can't. I just have to learn to do that differently.
Interesting.
Because if I get excited, I can feel all the numbness coming back. It's almost like things get inflamed. I don't understand it.
Wow.
Or maybe the nerves start moving faster. I know? I'm not a doctor. Yeah, whatever. I just know that when I get excited or, you know, I talk faster or whatever, you can feel it like in my eye, you know, start to go numb. And then you can feel it all picky coming down, the arms going numb. So it's just, and it's always on the left side.
Yeah.
I went through a period of time that took an ambulance 3 times in a year thinking I was dying, and it was panic attacks. And that was affecting, because you're feeling all this, like what's happening in my body.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure
you
maybe
like
at some point, sure maybe at some point in your walk with this, you know, you're wondering, you're struggling.
Yeah.
Like what's happening? What's going on? You know, what do we do to fix it? And right. that kind of stuff. So I know for me, I had to take my body down and not do so much.
Yes. And I think that's a big part for me too. We're coming up on 2 years in April since I've been able to feel my feet and part of my leg.
But so you cannot feel your feet or your leg.
That is correct. So my both feet and my right like quad, it feels like there's ants crawling on them, like that tingly feeling.
I do know that because that's what I have all the time.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
I had a stressful situation happen like on Good Friday, not this past one, so the one before. A week later, boom, I couldn't feel either foot. So I'm like, what could this be? I'm trying to get to that root cause, hence why I started to work with a holistic practitioner. I'm praying it's just not permanent damage at this point, trying to figure it out. Is it parasites? Is it heavy metals? How do I get rid of these heavy metals? That's why I had my mercury fillings taken out. And we'll just see.
I'm sorry, did you say that you had a stressful event?
Yeah, so
okay.
I had a stressful event at a physician's office, and then...
And that's what made this happen, you think?
I believe so, because this happened 5 to 6, 7 days after.
But I can come in agreement knowing that that does happen.
Yeah.
When your stress level
rises,
and when I get excited, like I said, it's the same pathway as stress or as fear.
Yes.
It's that same pathway. So when you're excited, everything rises
yep.
like fight or flight. You know, everything goes up, even when you're excited. So I get that because that's when I'll get numb.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
It
if
is.
You really stop to think about it.
But it is.
For me, I've also had to take my exercise back. I can't really do high intensity interval training anymore. And that was my favorite kind of exercise. I really don't love running anyway, so I don't miss that too much.
I can't figure out who would ever want to run. I have a daughter who's at UMass with a Division I scholarship for running, and I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, what is fun about this?
Yeah, I know.
I can't see it.
And my son's doing cross country for the first time. I'm like, ugh, gotta love you. But I run because I still can, right? So I'm actually signed up for a half marathon next month, and I'm like, do I do it? I should do it because I signed up for it. But I also don't want to put my body under that stress.
Right.
But I also want to prove that I can still do it. And
it takes a lot of prayer. That's
a lot
just
of prayer.
Something that you're just going to have to pray about.
Yeah.
So you had to take your body back recently. You exercise a lot to keep your body moving. Is that helpful for the MS?
It is.
Okay. So that's just keeping your joints and everything moving, your blood flowing.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah.
Is all of that?
It's helping not just my MS, but anxiety levels, yeah. stress levels, all the things. I think we have to keep moving, whether or not that's riding a bike or running or walking. You just yeah. have to move. The old saying is, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And mm-hmm. And that's so true. But as we age past 40, we shouldn't be doing as much cardio. We should be lifting more weight.
I agree. So for your bone health.
Yeah. So that's yep. what I've been doing.
That was something that really was disappointing for me. I found working out 30s. Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved lifting weights. Loved my body changing the way my body was. Loved everything yeah. about it. So a couple surgeries, can't lift anymore, depression, you know, all of that. And then the neck thing, and I'm just like, yeah. whatever. Our bodies are breaking down, but our spirits are rising.
Right.
Like, this is just what happens.
Yeah.
Things happen in life. They yes. just do. You know what I mean? But we have our spirit, man, and then we have our physical body.
Amen to that.
In your podcast, do you do a test with them, or do you talk to them and just have a conversation about what their needs are and what kind of nutrition or what kind of exercise? Is that what you're doing on your podcast?
It's usually a topic. My dad actually is his 1 year of sobriety.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. I get teared up just thinking about that because that affects everyone, right? Somebody's addiction. That's been since I was little that he's had that addiction. You know, my parents are divorced. They've been divorced since I was 10. And that has taken hold of him that entire time. And I'm 42 now.
Wow.
But I've also been, I love my father. So I've also been the daughter. And my brother has been there when he can to be there when he passes out, to be wow. there when he gets brought to the hospital, to be there for all those times.
So you're parenting your parent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just remember that last year on our 13th wedding anniversary, I was shopping at Walmart for clothes for my dad to go into rehab. And he made that call to go into rehab.
Wow.
It was funny because our wedding song came on the radio in Walmart while I'm shopping for my father's underwear. Like, I'm like, God, this is real funny. I'm laughing. But yeah, he went. And so my episode will be about the rehab facility he went to, him asking him questions of what made you finally change at the age of 62.
Oh, so you're having him on. You're going to have the conversation.
Yes.
That's yeah. wonderful.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. We'll see how many questions he lasts through. But he's 63 now. And now he's lost over 100 pounds. Now he gets to enjoy his grandkids. And then there's the part of me that's thinking to myself, when's the other shoe going to drop? Mm. And so I just have to give it to God and say, you did this. This yeah. is a God thing. Like, he went cold turkey.
Wow.
Went
wow.
into rehab and hasn't done it again. Now he's quit smoking.
Wow.
And he's been smoking since he was like 13 years old.
Wow. That's just a miracle yeah. in itself,
yeah.
you and know?
Yeah. That episode. And so it's different topical episodes. Sometimes it's just me talking, but I also offer coaching. So if people want to be coached, then I have that available
okay,
to them.
Okay. So you do these podcasts, whatever you feel led, and then yeah. you also do these coachings. Groups. What does that mean? You're coaching them how? Through exercise, eating, mentally, emotionally, all of the above?
All the above.
Okay.
yep. So okay. because it is a very mindfulness is a huge piece of your nutrition. It's a big piece of your exercise because, yeah, I'd rather sit on the couch and watch Netflix, but you have to have a mental reason as to why you really should be going to do a workout. And that takes a lot of work on your figuring out your behaviors. So I'm certified in behavior for exercise.
Okay, that's good. Now, yeah. so is that something that's certified later on in life? Did you feel like a call to that?
Yes.
To minister yep. to other women about that?
Yeah, because I started to see, I've been coaching for 14 years plus, and I'm partnered with a company to do that. But I also was a certified personal trainer prior to becoming okay. partnered with this company. So when that came up, I knew that that was a God thing. This was how I was going to reach women with or without MS that needed to understand nutrition, because nutrition had been such a big piece of my diagnosis, I feel. when I was talking about Soda and Splenda and all that, I wanted to just get that message out to other women that we have to take control of our nutrition. So I started to get certified. I got certified through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition and Holistic Nutrition. I got some other little certifications along the way. And the behavior one I got because I want women to understand that our actions and our thoughts have a lot to do with our decisions that we're making.
Absolutely.
When it comes to our nutrition and our fitness. And women tend to, and men do too, but women tend to, we put ourselves last because we have all these people that need us first. I don't believe that that's how God intends it. I believe that it's not all about me, 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 self-love. I can't really stand that
No,
term.
I can't either. I can't either. It's just, it's counterintuitive to the gospel. Yeah. It just really is.
Yeah. I had a shirt on the other day that said radical self-love. And I wear it so that I can start a conversation because it's not about self-love. You should love who God has made you to be, and you should love yourself enough to take care of yourself so that you can be the best version of yourself for others.
Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We got to take care of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
And this is our one vessel. When we die, we'll get a new, even better one. But we have to take care of the one that he's gifted us now. And so that's what I talk about with my clients too, presuming they are open to the conversation. Like I said before, I'm not going to shove the gospel down anybody's throat because I think that can turn people away too. And I don't want to be that person that turns people away. I want them to feel comfortable. And so I do have a lot of people who will message me and they'll say, can you pray for me for this, this, and this? And I'm not going to just say, yes, I'll pray for you. I'll just send a voice message prayer to them so that they know that a prayer actually did occur. So that's how I use my coaching with my faith and how I feel that God wants me to do that.
I love that because there's so many times, you know, and we've heard people say this, it's like, oh, will you pray for me? Yeah, yeah, I'll pray for you. And it never happens. Or you don't know if they ever did. And I think it's important just right then and there. I think that's a great witness for the Lord to just take that time when the door is opened, because really, if it's not, you're just banging your head against the walls. That's just great to be in that position and be open to that.
Yeah.
What can you share that would encourage others to move forward in the calling that God has on their life? Is there anything that really God had to walk you through for you to be able to do what you're doing today? And how can you encourage other people to move forward in that?
So that's a great question. For me, it's trying to discern his voice versus my own desires. And that has always been a struggle for me because it's like, well, is this God or is this me? And if it's just me, is that, you know, an example of that would be something very trivial would be, I guess it's not trivial depending on the situation, but I've been wanting to stop drinking. I'm not an alcoholic or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I have my wine.
Yeah.
I heard this. I feel distinctly while washing dishes before church on Sunday, if you stop drinking, I will heal your feet. And I was like, God, was that really you?
I'm going to say right now, I'm going to confirm 100% that was the Lord. Because why would that even go on in your head?
I don't know. Because I was really sick of my feet hurting me. And I'm like, is it the alcohol? Like, I'm not drinking all the time. It's like on the weekend.
I'm just going to say something. Test him.
Yeah.
Test it.
Does God like us to test him now?
Oh, okay. Well, let's use a different word than test. Let's move in faith.
Yes.
Believing that was the Lord. Yeah. How about that?
That's a good one. I like that.
You know what? Like, okay, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to believe that that was you to speak to me. Because really, what anything negative could come out of that?
Nothing. Right.
Nothing negative could come out of that.
I'm doing a sober October. I am doing that. And I am inviting people on my podcast to do that with me so that we can make it a group effort to do this sober October. And prayerfully, that will be the catalyst to just keep going. I did the dry January thing. And that was,
for some reason, that clicked in me. Maybe remember that post or something that you made.
And it was great. And I loved it. And I did it. And then my birthday's in February. So,
you know what? I think I remember that. I'm just going to encourage you to do that, to really step out in faith and 100% grab hold of that from the Lord and do it. And then in that time, I would just spend more time with the Lord reading scriptures that are encouraging obedience and healing and all of that. Just have those on repeat in your mind. Yeah. You know, just really dig in closer to God.
No, that's
good. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you because that's not from Satan.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And here's another thing that you can say, was that something that you came up with or are you having a conversation with the Lord? Right. Because anything you're thinking in your head, I know for me, that's how I communicate with the Lord. It's just in my head. We're just talking back and forth. So when you're sitting there saying that you're in the kitchen or on the sink or wherever you were, and you're like, you're thinking about drinking. And then all of a sudden you hear, well, if you stop drinking, I'll heal your feet. Well, I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to move forward in that. Yeah. I'm not going to question that again.
And I sit here, I just talked about my dad and how he's a recovering alcoholic and I can't give it up for a month. And then I wrestle with that in my mind and my heart. And, you know, I'm excited for Sober October and to bring other people into it, because I think it is something that a lot of women struggle with too, is just have a glass of wine at the end of the day, just to relax. And
I'm just going to, you know, maybe go a little bit deeper too, because, you know, are we supposed to look to something else?
No.
So right there, you know, like when you say, I just want to glass of wine and relax, and it's like
right,
well, that's a bad reason to have a glass of wine.
Yes,
right. Yep. I just want to spend time with the Lord to help me relax. What are you looking for, you know? Right. What are you looking to get it from?
Yes.
So yeah, just that's when you're going to go grab for that glass of wine, just grab for the Bible or an app and just meditate on his word.
Yes.
I remember, you know, my whole thing with my neck. And like, I couldn't hold a book up. Like, just, you don't realize how much is attached.
Yeah.
You know, your muscles are attached. Well, you probably understand. Yep. So for me, even holding up a heavy book, it would kill my neck. Like, you could just feel it. And I would just literally hit the app and just lean my head back. And I would just listen to scripture being read over and over and just meditating on that.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe try that, you know, head towards the Lord and the spiritual and say, okay, I really need that glass of wine. You know what? I'm just going to sit here and, I don't know, maybe put a cup of tea in your hands. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or hot water or something. Yeah. And then just listen to that scripture.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
So to any woman that's, you know, struggling with any kind of thing, like you just can't figure out what your next move is, it's always look to the Lord for the answers and he will give them to you. I don't really hear his voice as clearly as I heard him at the sink on Sunday. So sometimes it's hard to hear his voice, right? But if you know why he has you on this earth, or if you have that little thing nagging you, like you really need to go work with children, or you need to write that book, that seems to be the thing that people always say, then do that.
Yeah.
Start the podcast, start the online course, go get certified in whatever. But you will know, you will feel a peace that goes beyond understanding when you know that you are walking in what he wants for you.
Amen. And that's true, because it's a lot of fear.
Yeah.
You know, what do I have? How can I do that? You know, and even it's funny, just as a side note, I think about writing the book. I think to myself, I would have never done that years ago.
Right.
I remember reaching out to a bookstore. She never got back to me. I would have been crushed and been like, well, God, you know, I'm not good enough. And just that whole self doubt and fear and all of that stuff. And I look and I think, Lord, you're just so good that I just went back and had a conversation with her,
right,
you know,
and
it wasn't this detrimental thing that I'm just not good enough and they didn't call me back and all of that stuff that we all struggle with, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But just keep walking forward, opening that door, you know what I mean? Okay, Lord, this, you know, I'm sensing this is from you. Pray, get confirmation, talk to a mentor, you know, and then move forward in faith.
Yeah. It's moving forward in faith. That's the big thing. I think the same is true, the analogy of the health and fitness journey. We're gonna, quote unquote, mess up. We're gonna have a cookie. We're gonna skip a workout.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean you start over Monday,
right,
because Monday might not come physically and hypothetically. Monday turns into, I'll start again next Monday. That Monday turns into, I'll start on New Year's. Oh, I'll start after the Super Bowl. I'll start after school.
Saying.
It sounds, you just have to do. You just have to take action and do it. So if the door keeps shutting on whatever dream you have, it's time to sit with the Lord and say, is this really where you want me to be? And if so, what do I do next?
Right.
It's just getting back up and doing it again, getting back up and doing it again. I'm in sales. Like, that's part of my coaching business. It's sales. It's literally, if you're going to say no, that's okay. But I'm going to keep going because there's somebody else that needs me. And that's what you just, it's not about me. It's about my mission to helping people. Right. And there's somebody out there that needs help, and I'm here to help them. If one person doesn't need me, that doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't.
Right. The no isn't a rejection of what God called you to do.
Right. Yes.
That's really good, because we get devastated with a no.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, like, I heard rejection. Wrong. Exactly.
It's not. Exactly. They're not rejecting you.
Right. To separate that from the answer. We as women, we do. It's that rejection. Like, oh, they rejected me. No, no. They're just not in that place right now. Right. They just don't need that right now.
Right.
That's okay. And what a healthy way to be. That's really great.
Yeah. It took me a long time to get there, but I think with age, I'm just like, all right, God, this isn't about me. This is about what you want to do with me.
And sales. Oh my gosh, that makes me laugh. I could never do sales. Never. Well, not so much anymore, but that rejection part of me, I wouldn't get out of bed if I was in sales. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I just would not. I cared way too much about what other people thought about me. Sometimes I still struggle with that a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about what he wants to do with the gifts that he's given me. And everybody out there has been given a gift. It's just, you probably already know what it is. You're just afraid to figure out how to use it.
Right.
And it's the fear. What's the acronym for fear? False evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
So
that's just Satan's easy way.
Yeah.
He just pulls that card out all the time.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can recommend that's helped you? Maybe books or podcasts or a scripture or anything that you have felt the Lord has helped you on this journey?
Yeah. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And it goes back to that self thing. Like, what's the saying? Just believe in yourself. You can do anything. We can't do everything. It's only through him that we can do anything. That's the verse that I always go by in everything. And when I run marathons, that's the verse that gets me through. I can only do this through you who gives me the strength to do it. I can only make this phone call through you who gives me the strength to do it. I can only help my dad get into rehab with you giving me the strength to do this. Everything. I can only parent a teenager with you who gives me the strength to do it. That's the verse.
I love that. I just want to thank you for being here today. I am just so blessed of hearing your story and really where God is bringing you to and taking you out of. Mm-hmm. I'm really going to continue to speak life into what he's spoken to you above that sink.
Yeah.
I want us to pray for our listeners.
Sure.
Lord, I just want to thank you so much for this podcast today, this conversation. Lord, you're just so good. I just want to pray right now a blessing on Melissa. Lord, I just pray for healing in her body, just from her head down to her toes. Father God, I just pray for faith, Lord, renewed faith in you. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit just flow through her and around her. Lord God, I want to thank you that you've called her to this missions field, Lord, and that you're working through her to touch other people. Lord, you're a good God. We just praise you. Also pray for her dad. I just want to thank you for his sobriety. That is so huge. And Lord, if there's anybody listening that may be struggling with somebody who struggles with any kind of addiction, I just pray that you just wrap your arms around them right now and give them the strength to move forward another day. Lord, I just pray against addiction. I pray against the chains of the enemy that come to kill, steal, and destroy. Father God, we just come against that right now in the name of Jesus. I just pray, Lord God, that by your Spirit, you'd be present in our lives and in our listeners' lives, Father, and that you just continue to guide us step by step. Just place your light in front of us each and every step of the way, Father God, and bring us to the place that you've called us to be, taking away the fear and the anxiety, Lord. We just again come against that, Lord, and I just pray that everybody listening and us here today will hear your voice clearly, will accept the call that you put on our lives, knowing that it's not us, it's you that's called it forth, and you're going to help us walk it out.
And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that you have put this calling on my life to speak to others. I just pray for anybody out there who is struggling with a chronic illness, maybe newly diagnosed or has been diagnosed for a long time. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to them and that you would help them understand that they can find true healing in you and to know how to take those steps to feeling better. I thank you for everything that you have blessed us with. Even within chronic illness, there is a light at the end of that tunnel. Amen. That can seem dark at times. And I just pray that they would look to the right things to find that peace. And I just thank you for everything that you have brought into our lives. I thank you for this podcast and for all the people that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to thank our listeners for joining the conversation today. Praying the Lord spoke to each and every one of you and believing we can move forward together and shine as bright lights in our communities. For more information about today's guest, please be sure to go to the episode show notes. If you found this podcast engaging and encouraging, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morning Star Bright Lights community grow together as we share our experiences and insights for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you or someone you know is shining the light of Christ and feels led to share what the Lord is doing and has done in and through your life, we would love to hear about it. Please go to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com and leave us a message. Visit our Morning Star Bookstore locations and discover our wide selection of Christian books, Bibles, and gifts. Also visit our website at morningstarbookstore.com for more selections and direct-to-home shipping. On behalf of the entire team at Morning Star Christian Bookstore, thanks for joining the conversation.